The time winds off the clock, and the Blackhawks have won 8 in a row, and head coach Joel Quenneville is now tied with Al Arbor for second all-time in National Hockey League history in regular season wins.
All right, 9:14 now. You know, Dave will back me up on this, Andrea. When Troy Murray was a player, he was the teammate everybody wanted because he played hard, he skated hard, he scored goals, he played defense. He played all 200 feet. Tough guy.
And off the ice, super cool guy.
Yeah, and he's turned into be a great analyst with Weidman. I mean, who's better than Weidman? Come on. Now, we all remember when he tried to become a soap opera star for a while. Remember, he was on Days of Our Lives.
I think he did a great job.
Yeah, and he was always very emotional, you know, and he just couldn't pull off the real tears. His fake crying didn't work.
Although he took the slap well.
Yes, he did. And the stare at the camera going to commercial break. Yeah, yeah. But I love Troy. Troy's tremendous. Now, Dave, you don't like Troy. Why is that?
No, that's not true at all. In fact, I think I did the first interview in town with Troy Murray.
Come on.
But he got called up to the Blackhawks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, let's
yeah.
ask him. He's on the phone right now.
I don't know if he remembers.
Hey, Troy, do you remember the first interview we ever did?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So you remember Dave Ennett coming to you after you come to Chicago and you say, years from now, this is going to come up on my friend Steve Cochran show. I need to remember this. Is that how it went down?
Probably, but the funny thing was the other day I saw, remember Al Troutwig?
Sure,
yeah.
Al Troutwig interviewed me the night that we played the first road game, I think it was, and man, I had a bad jacket and bad hairdo and everything. I had hair back then.
I can confirm that.
Yeah, oh, you remember when he had
hair. I remember when interviewing him and he did have hair.
You're just jealous because you don't get to come to the meetings that Troy and I have.
No, I don't.
By the way, Eddie,
our secret club.
Yeah, Eddie Olczyk's not trying to get you into that hair deal he's in, is he?
Oh, he asked me, but I just flatly said I'm fine the way I am.
Yeah,
it just would take way too long. He's got a little egg nest there, but I got a lot.
Yeah, well, you and me both. I said to Eddie when he brought it up, I said, you know, they ought to call the company. Looks good on you. Because it does. Looks good on Eddie.
It looks really good on
Eddie. Yeah, it looks good on Eddie.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why I'm on radio with his face and he's on TV with that face.
Careful. 9:16 in the morning. Talking to Troy Murray, who was, of course, there last night as the Hawks went 8 in a row. What does this streak feel like compared to the ones you've witnessed over the last several years? Are they in some kind of team zone?
Well, you know, it's funny when you talk to Quenneville, he's just kind of got these key words that he uses all the time. And, you know, he talks about consistency and his rotation. But it strikes a point because what he's getting right now is consistency, especially with the three lines that he has now. Dano's done a wonderful job with Teravainen and Desjardins. Of course, Anisimov didn't play last night, so there were some different line combinations. But when you have a line like Jonathan Toews starting to get the offensive side to their game up to the level that, you know, everybody kind of expects and knows that it's there with Andrew Shaw and Marian Hossa to go along with the Nisimas line of Kane and Panarin, who have been phenomenal all season long, it's tough to match up for the other teams to figure out which team is the hottest line to try and shut down. And the Blackhawks like to have that rotation. They're getting it right now. The defense has been terrific. Corey Crawford has had a phenomenal season. It's been pretty impressive what these guys have done right now, and I think if you look at it overall, this is as solid as a group of guys that they've had this year, and things are starting to fall into place.
I say this all the time. You see things, and Eddie's the same way. You guys see things on the ice we don't see because you played it. You were there. You know the little nuanced part of the games that we don't know. Is anybody on this team doing something different that elevates their game even more than the first three cups, you know, because we'd like a fourth?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at Panarin, he's the flashy player out there, and Patrick Kane has had his most consistent season, you know, that he's had in his NHL career. Nothing surprises about Toews or Marian Hossa. Andrew Shaw's the little, you know, buzzsaw out there. I think if you look at Anisimov, and he quietly has had a really good season here, trust me, it's not easy playing with Patrick Kane and Panarin. You know, these two guys are world-class as far as their skill and the way that they handle the puck. They're all over the ice in the offensive zone. Anisimov has done a tremendous job in complementing those two players, knowing when to get out of the way, knowing when to get to the front of the net. He's a big body at 6'4", so he does a lot of work in the corners to retrieve pucks and get those guys back. I think that that position behind Jonathan Toews, and these guys are only 27 years of age, is what they've been looking for a long time, to have that stability 1-2 down the middle. Obviously, they miss Marcus Kruger, but Philip Dano has come in here and done a tremendous job filling in that role as well. And, you know, it just kind of has everybody into a better pecking order and slotted into the right area. And, of course, maybe on the defensive side of it, you look at a young player like Erik Gustafsson coming up here and playing as well as he has here in the last little while, and giving the Blackhawks a real nice option on the back end, along with a three-core group of guys that they have with Seabrook, Keith, and Hjalmarsson.
Why does it take a while, Troy, for when you have as much change as this team has had, why does it take a while for things to mesh? And then, and I know it didn't happen overnight, but then all of a sudden it seems things click.
It's a good question. I think that, you know, everybody was talking, we'll know at the beginning of the season, was saying we'll know better where we're at after 25 games into the season. Well, things are still a work in progress, and I think that, you know, Stan Bowman is always looking to improve the team. But there's another big turnover in the offseason, and I think that it's so impressive that this Blackhawks team really hasn't had the Stanley Cup hangover that everybody talks about. Even when they won all the Cups in the last 3 years, they've retooled this team. They've put in new guys in different situations. And it, you know, it's almost like starting from scratch with some of the line combinations and everything. You know, you look at this second line that the Blackhawks have, it's a totally different line other than Patrick Kane.
Right.
You've got, you know, Andrew Shaw. So there's always a feeling in process. And I think that, you know, good thing for the Blackhawks that line of Anisimov, Panarin, and Kane clicked right off the bat, because they carried a major of the workload offensively for a long, long time. And this team probably wouldn't be in the position that they are. But it's not easy to get those pieces back into place. And I think if you ask Quenneville, you know, finding those right combinations, getting everybody to play to the expectations, some players have not met those expectations, and you've had to, you know, move them in and out of the lineup in different areas. Quenneville does a tremendous job in, you know, trying to figure out what line combinations are going to work, taking the characters of the players. Are they going to fit? You know, you can't have too much skill on one line, because that doesn't sometimes work, because somebody's got to go into the corner and get the puck. So Quenneville's done a nice job of juggling lines around to find that consistency. And like we were just talking about, Dave, I think at this point right now, he's got a real nice comfort level in the three lines, especially up front. And you know, with Richard Ponick coming in here, he was talking after the game last night that, you know, now you've got some healthy decisions that you're going to have to make as far as who stays in the lineup, who maybe stays in Chicago, or somebody gets sent down to Rockford because of the salary cap implications that the Blackhawks are under right now.
Stick around a second, because I think we have a buddy of yours that's going to join us in a second. Troy Murray is with us at Muzz19, M-U-Z-Z-19. Do you know what the Muzz part is?
Do I know what it is?
No, I know. You know what it is. Does Dave, do you know what it is, since you and Troy go all the way back as far as you do?
Yeah, I believe it had to do with his haircut when I first interviewed him.
Do you think that's right?
No, it's not right.
A muzzle, because Troy's so fierce on the ice.
You think a muzzle? You think
yes.
A muzzle's the answer? Troy, would you tell everybody what the Muzz is when we come back?
I will.
Stand by. That's a broadcast tease, kids.
That was good.
9:23, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Wait, that's Who music. Is that the Who, Kev? That's the Who.
That's the Who. Pictures of Lily.
All right, here's the truth. When we found out after the show yesterday that Coach Q is going to stick around for another 3 years, we want to celebrate a little bit. So let me bring in one more time the coach here, Chicago Blackhawks, to say congratulations on a hell of a day yesterday.
Thank you. A lot of fun. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice little nerve-wracking on the dying seconds of that game there. It was almost like, okay, that was too good a chance to give up there at that time. So Crow makes a big save, and we're all happy at the end.
Did you yesterday morning know you were close to a deal to stay with the Hawks? When we were talking, did you know it was close?
Yes. yes, I didn't know it was they're going to walk downstairs and I was going to sign the paper right after the show and they're going to announce it during our morning skate. So I was not aware of all that or any of that timing. So that was a things changed quickly yesterday on a lot of fronts. And we had Anisimov got sick right before the game. We had the other guy was stuck at the hotel.
Crazy day.
There missed warm up. Get to play his first game. But he was good too as the game went along. I like his progression. So hopefully he can help us as well.
Was the only holdup in signing the deal before we talked yesterday the fact that you insisted on me being included in your future?
It was your fee that you wanted. I couldn't believe you were looking for so much. So that was sticking up the deal a little bit. And I was going to say, I don't know, I want to make it a deal buster, but we'll try to get through it.
Well, I appreciate you getting it done. In all seriousness, on behalf of all Hawk fans, and Mr. Ennett and I are included in that, we are thrilled. We know there's no better place and no place else you'd rather be, but it's not like people don't want to throw a bunch of money at you and have you leave town. So I know you don't need me to say this, but thank you for agreeing to stick around for a while.
No, thank you very much. We're very happy here, and it's a great place. And, Rocky John and Stan have done a great job with the team, and the players fortunate to work with a great group of guys. Our coaching staff is great to work with. We have a lot of fun together. So it's all good, and we got a nice little roll going on right now too. We want to try to keep sustaining that. So that's been a lot of fun situations, but I can't believe how fast these 8 years have gone by.
Crazy. And one thing we haven't mentioned yet, and let me get Troy Murray back on for this. Troy, all that happened last night at the end of that crazy day was Coach Q ties the great Al Arbor in all time wins.
Well, I think it's a tribute to obviously the longevity of. Q's coaching career. I remember him way back in the day when we were with the Colorado Avalanche together, won the Cup in 96, and he's come a long way. You could always see that he was going to be a great head coach, but to be in a position right now to be only behind one guy, and that's the great Scotty Bowman as far as coaching wins in the National Hockey League, is pretty incredible. And there's always a lifespan of a coach behind the bench, and Glenville, I think, has done a phenomenal job of understanding what relationships the coaches have to have with the players, allowing them to breathe, having a good pulse on the locker room, and giving them the opportunity to take that leadership role with inside the locker room without over-managing or micromanaging is something that I think in a lot of ways kills coaches over the long term of a tenure in it with the hockey team. And he's a great coach, and I think the Blackhawks fans, as you mentioned, very lucky. The players are very lucky. They appreciate the way that he coaches. They appreciate the days off that he gets, like today. So good opportunity for them to rest up and appreciate what they did last night and get ready for a big two-game road trip here.
Joel, let me add my congratulations, too. And if there were one thing, if you were going to talk to a young guy starting out in coaching in hockey and we're going to give him one piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, thank you. I think that... That's a great question. I think you got to be yourself first and foremost. Stick to your beliefs and reinforce that on a regular cycle with the players. Have great lines and open lines of communication, and we try to reinforce how we play almost immediately in a positive way. We try to keep things positive as best we can. I might have been a little bit too negative on the bench last night, but that's every game's different. but that's the way it works, and I think that basically you got to have confidence in the decisions you make, and you got to trust that. And nothing wrong with trusting your gut when you're making decisions.
Troy, we were talking to Q yesterday, and he said the one thing maybe he ought to work on as a coach is cursing less at the officials during the game. And Troy, I got to be honest with you. I don't want Q to change anything. As a matter of fact, Q, I'd like you to curse more.
I've been way quieter than I've been.
Yeah, you really have.
Q is one of the more animated coaches behind the bench, and I think everybody loves it because it's good TV, and he never knows when Eddie and Pat are going to pan down and check him out behind the bench, but his looks behind the bench are just – They're phenomenal. And just, when he gets that glare going and he's not happy with the officials, I love it. I love that passion behind the bench.
Did you guys like each other when you played together?
Never played. I got to coach him, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought you guys skated together.
Assistant coach, and no. He brought some great experience, leadership, centerman presence, face-off, helped a young team find a way to win a cup.
I'm telling you what, Troy, that's pretty good praise from the soon-to-be number two on his own all-time NHL winner.
Well, hopefully it's going to happen tomorrow night in Montreal, but I remember playing against Q back in the day, and you know, he just was one of those steady, big defensemen that played his own position, his own end of the ice to his best of his abilities. Never flashy, but certainly got the job done. And I think that a coach as a defenseman who used to play in the National Hockey League has that mindset. And anytime Q talks about what this team needs to do better or where the offense starts, it's always about what they do in their own end of the ice. And as a former player, I know that he took a lot of pride in what he did in his own end of the ice. That was a big part of his game, and you can see that that's the way that his coaching philosophy develops from.
Well, we know where Q comes from. Where's the nickname Muzz come from?
Oh, real quickly, back in the day in juniors, I played with a guy named, he wasn't a bad NHL player, Mark Messier.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, he had a nice run.
Yeah, the stick boy called him Mezzer. So he says, well, you're kind of like him, and I like you, so I'm going to call you Muzzer instead of Mezzer. And that's kind of where it started. I was a 15-year-old kid back in the day.
Dave thought it was a better story. I like it. Muzz 19. Q, congratulations. Enjoy at least part of a day off here. And Troy, always great having you on.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Thanks. Guys.
All right. Have a great day.
See you. That's Coach Joel Quenneville and Troy Murray. A couple of NHL legends.
Yeah. No question. And I think that's what Q said is true. Be true to yourself. I mean, and he's done that.